Are you still waiting for that long-promised personal jetpack? Because I am. And frustrated at the delayed arrival of your robot servant? Well, the latest figures show you're going to get them both a long time before that other thing we seem to have been waiting an eternity for, and that's pay equity between men and women. A new report by the World Economic Forum shows that on current trends, gender pay parity will finally be achieved in 2133. That's right, in 118 years' time. That's seriously what they're predicting. Yolanda Vega is the CEO of the Australian Women's Chamber of Commerce and Industry, and she joins us now. Welcome back to the program. Is the gender pay gap narrowing?
Hello, Patricia. No, I'm sorry, I don't have any good news. The pay gap is in fact increasing rather than flattening out. A man on average is 4.5 times more likely than a woman to reach a higher paying role in Australia. And what's really interesting is that even when women are more highly educated, and we have international data that shows that there are now more women than men with a PhD, women with a PhD are now earning the same as a man that has a Bachelor of Arts, a BA. And according to the Organisation for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD, which includes 34 economies from Europe, Australasia and the Americas, Australia is way down on the list. In fact, they also confirm, as per the report that came out today from the World Economic Forum, that on average in Australia, the pay gap is around 18%. So compared to the other 33 economies, Australia is number one on the list. We are one of the worst in the OECD community. And in comparison with New Zealand, which is the best on the OECD gender wage gap list, they're only at number five. They're at number one with only a 5% wage gap between men and women. So Australia is very much in need of some significant changes.
Does this figure of 118 years to reach pay parity by the World Economic Forum surprise you? Because it certainly surprised me. That is a very long time.
It is a very long time, and that figure is not new. A couple of years ago, the UN came out with another figure that said 184 years we would have to wait.
Well, so this is an improvement.
Well, yes, a little bit. I'm not quite sure how these figures come about by each organisation. But the point is that it will take this long if we continue at the same pace as we are today. So if things start to change faster than we're moving today, then that number hopefully will continue to reduce. But let's not forget that that number is worldwide. So we're looking at the global village when we're looking at these sort of numbers. And in some economies, the gender pay gap is much worse. And it's got nothing to do with whether they're developed or a developing economy, because as I said earlier, Australia, which is a developed economy, a capitalist economy, a democratic economy, we still don't have the equal pay gap.
As well as being a question of fairness, and we always approach this discussion in, you know, with fairness at the centre, we also pay a big economic price for pay inequality, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. Let's not forget that women are the biggest consumers. So we are actually missing out on increasing the productivity and the innovation in our communities and in our nation, because if women aren't making money, they can't spend that money. So if we're the biggest consumers, you would think by logic that we would also be the biggest wage earners, but we're not. So it makes no sense from an employer's perspective, especially the big corporations that need to sell their product and service, to reduce their female staff's wages, because they're the ones that are going to make the decisions on the next holiday, the purchase of the next vehicle, where they're going to buy their home, etc. So it's actually everybody that loses out. And also from a short-term and a long-term perspective, we know from data and anecdotally that women invest in education, health and infrastructure. They are the first priorities for any woman. So if women don't have the ability everybody suffers because the next generation is going to suffer if their education and their health and infrastructure is not in place for them.
On RN Drive, if you're just tuning in, my guest is Yolanda Vega. She's the CEO of the Australian Women Chamber of Commerce and Industry, and she's talking about a new report out today by the World Economic Forum, which shows that on current trends, gender pay parity will finally be achieved in 2133. That's in about 118 years' time. Our number here, 0418 226 576. Are you as shocked by that time frame as me? Because I certainly am. 0418 226 576. I've got a text here that I want to put to you, Yolanda. Mm-hmm. Bruce says, women will never have equal pay unless they're willing to undertake dangerous and dirty work, such as mining and construction. Risk to life and limb should be awarded appropriately to men and their families. These are the most ignored facts on this vacuous issue. What's your response to that? Is it true that some men do these jobs that do get paid a high premium for the risks that men take?
Well, as I said earlier, it's women with PhDs that are also getting paid less. However, there's some really interesting data that came out recently where 433 occupations were examined and the pay gap was analysed. And the interesting, one of the interesting points that came out was that truck drivers, panel beaters and apprentice electricians are the only surprising exception because both men and women in those industries get the same amount of pay. Truck drivers, would you believe, Patricia? There's only 3% of women that are truck drivers, and yet female truck drivers get, on average, $3,000 more than the average male who is also a truck driver.
Why?
So that tweeter needs to look at the facts and look at the breakdown. A male surgeon, for example, earns $57,000 more than his female counterpart. In legal occupations, for example, a male judge or a male lawyer earns $83,000 more each year than their female counterpart. So it's not as the tweeter says. And when we look at the most female-dominated occupations, men still hold the top-paid jobs. So, for instance, women represent 98% of midwives, but would you believe the male midwives earn, on average, $16,000 more than the women?
Before I let you go, we need to get to at least one solution to this, or what your idea is behind a solution. You believe in more transparency, don't you? You think that's one of the keys to changing this?
Absolutely. Look, I think there's three major issues here, or a call to action, if you like. There needs to be a will to make a change, which was, in fact, a law which was passed in our democratic parliament 30 years ago. So, you know, we need to stop talking about it and taking some action because it has been legislated. And legislation, like any law, needs to be policed. But today, just like in yesteryears, there are no real consequences to those that don't pay women the equivalent of men. So we can keep talking about it until we go blue, but unless we police it, nothing's going to occur. Business owners, CEOs and board members must be held accountable. I can assure you that if they all got, that they all had this issue placed as part of their KPIs, their key performance indicators, things would change instantly because if they don't make that change, they won't get their bonuses.
Well, Yolanda, many thanks for your time. I've appreciated your time tonight and lots of food for thought. And that is Yolanda Vega from the Australian Women Chamber of Commerce and Industry.